Blog Talk Radio.
Got a house on the hill, you ain't worried about it at the end of the day. You're just hauling on, and you wonder what went wrong. But that's the small thing that actually important. I'm talking about the friendship, the love, your peace, your joy, your happiness. Those things are priceless, and they make the difference. Remember, more money, more problems. You gotta be smart and wise.
You can have all the money in the world, as long as you can be.
Cruising through the fast life, eat my piece of pie till I'm down to the last slice. Time freeze when we move, so you ain't gotta ask twice. How I get it doesn't matter as long as the cash right. Right, that's the mentality my people think with. They promise riches, loyalty, long as you keep it secret. Society, the fourth dynasty, getting broken pieces. The writings on the wall, the fall of the new ecoethics. Illuminati, want my mind, soul, and my body. Initiation, if I traded for that new Bugatti. Whether conspiracy or tyranny, they crucify me like Machiavelli, but I'm already and moving wisely. Kick back, I'm reading the second book of the Maccabean brothers who that with their mother. To stand for what they believe in. Cause when you lead it, sir, only thing you got is your name. Don't get it muddy while you chasing that money.
You can have all the money in the cars, the loans, and the jewelry.
But that don't
all won't pay. You can have all the money in the cars, the loans, and the jewelry.
Unaware of my yacht, quite unfair to
of my yacht. Do we care for our yacht? The fountain of living waters. Why you think you're drying all the oceans? Why you keep choosing presidents and keep voting? Worshiping in the man and who you hoping? He got his hand around your neck. He cashing in. You keep choking. Life blind at noonday. We keep groping. I beg for the day. Y'all's judgment's overflowing. Y'all got me high on this.
All I need. Y'all's all I need. Your view of this, my I must confess, my is all I need. Yahweh is all I need. Your view of this, my I must confess, my is all I need.
Cook my invent, ain't and die out in night. Counsel to fear Yah and adore his light. These are the spirits we need in our life. To walk uprightly, be pleased in this sight. Trust in my Yahweh with all of your heart. Keep his commandments from evil to heart. Give Yah his praise when surrender day starts. Keep all his plans, Yahweh light up the dark. Blessed is the man that walks not by Rasha, nor goes in the way of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scorners. Return none to Yah, I'm trying to warn ya.
All I need, Yah's all I need. I grew up Kodesh, my Yah. I must confess, my Yah. Is all I need,
all I need.
Yah's all I need. Yo grew up Kodesh, my Yah. I must confess, my Yah. Is all I need, Yahweh is all I need.
Shalom, 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 shalom. This is the House of Israel of Cincinnati. Today's lesson will be taught by the great late Moray Elisa. The lesson will be on day and night. And we thank you for tuning in. And also, we want to wish all the mothers a happy Mother's Day. May Yahweh bless you and keep you. Shalom.
Let me read one that's really... Let's go to Exodus 18. Exodus 18 chapter. According to Exodus 18 chapter, you can let the reader read a few things. And you can 13 and 14 verse.
And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said to judge the people. And the people stood by Moses from the morning until the evening.
So you see, tomorrow started in the morning. And here you see a day starting in tomorrow, because tomorrow means the next day. And when he stood to judge the people, it didn't say from evening to night or evening until the morning. It said he stood up to judge the people on tomorrow from the morning and at evening. Furthermore, to look up the word tomorrow, if you look in the book of Exodus, the 10th chapter, I want you to notice this, little sister. If you look in the 10th chapter, Exodus, read the 4th verse.
Else,
you can walk by him. You don't have to stand. Mm-hmm.
Else, if thou refuse.
If thou refuse.
To let my people go.
To let my people go.
Behold tomorrow.
Behold tomorrow.
Will I bring the locust into thy coast?
I'm going to bring the locust into your coast tomorrow. And that's the reason I said tomorrow means the next day. Now he's going to show you what the word tomorrow means, because if you look at verse 13.
And Moses stretched forth his rod over the land of Egypt. And Yahweh brought an east wind upon the land all that day.
All that day.
And all that night.
And all that night.
And when it was morning.
And when it was morning.
The east wind brought the locust.
The east wind brought the locust. So when was morning? That night that evening or in the morning. So again, next day is equated with the morning. Furthermore, if you look at the 32nd chapter of Exodus, and incidentally, when I looked honestly, diligently, searching out the word tomorrow, investigating every scripture that tomorrow was on, I couldn't find one verse that suggested that tomorrow starts in the evening or that night. You would never read somebody, well, I'll see you tomorrow, and they came back that night and said, well, I'm here. I told you I'd be back tomorrow. Tomorrow always came after that morning. Notice what it says in Exodus 32, verse 5 and 6. It says,
and when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to Yahweh.
Tomorrow is a feast of Yahweh.
And they rose up early on tomorrow.
And they rose up early on tomorrow, or early that morning, because that's when tomorrow is. You never hear him talking about they rose up early that night. You don't rise up early at night. You always, when they say rising up early, it's always denoting in the morning. Nobody, I went to bed, man, I rose up early at 12 o'clock last night. You don't do that. It's always early in the morning, early the next day, early tomorrow. And they're all equivalent till in the morning. No verse will you find that states otherwise. And the one verse that Yah gave me to first wake me up that a day begins in the morning, my favorite one, is Exodus 16. Now, I don't know if you're able to see what I seen, but when Yah showed me this, it lit me up. He didn't have to do nothing but show me this one verse, because this is the one verse that's put me on a quest to studying and trying to find out what we're really doing. And I told Tyree this, my assistant minister, this over 25 years ago while he was alive. And I said, brother, I said, right here, it's showing me that the word tomorrow is always that's Sabbath morning. And he said, well, you prepared to teach? I said, no, I can't teach this because there's questions I can't answer right. But when I get all those questions answered to myself, I'll start teaching. And I have. Notice Exodus 16. Now read verse 22 and 23 of the 16th chapter. Watch and see if it jumps out at you as it did with me.
And it came to pass that on the sixth day.
On the sixth day.
They gathered twice as much bread.
Twice as much bread.
Two omers for one man. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, this is that which Yahweh hath said.
This is that which Yahweh hath said.
Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath.
Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath. Now, is he talking about in the evening? Is he talking about that night? Or is he talking about in the morning? He's going to let you know right here. This is not just another day. This is the holy Sabbath. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath.
Bake that which you will bake today.
Bake that which you will bake today.
And see it that which you will see.
And see that which you will see.
And that which remaineth over.
That which remaineth over.
Let it be kept up for you until the morning.
And let it be kept up for you until the morning.
And they laid it up until the morning.
And they laid it up into the morning.
As Moses bade.
As Moses had told them.
And it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, eat that today.
Eat that today.
For today is a Sabbath unto
Yahweh. The day is a Sabbath of Yahweh. When did he say it's a Sabbath? That evening, that night, or that morning? That morning he said, eat this today, for today is a Sabbath of Yahweh. So tomorrow always equate the next day, and the next day always equate in the morning. They're synonymous with each other. Now, one last scripture to deal with that is 1 Samuel 19. 1 Samuel 19. And this is a doctrine. This is a doctrine that will help you when some of your lost brothers come to you seeking help. And if you retain this information, you will be able to help them. Because if you don't retain this information, they will go home laughing at you And I don't want them to think that there's people in Leisha's Bible class in Cincinnati that's been sitting in this class that are totally ignorant to the truth, that you can just tell them anything. I want you to be aware, and the only way you can be aware is to write down these things and study it. Now, when you get home, if it don't make good sense, say, at least I studied these scriptures. I wrote all of them down, and it don't make good sense. I'm here finding here that a tomorrow means the night, and it always starts in the evening. And Yahweh told us we can keep the Passover anywhere we at, and here's the scriptures that justify it. I dare you to bring up scriptures. I dare anybody to bring up a scripture where we can keep the Passover anywhere. It don't exist, people. It's not there. Our brothers are just misled, that's all. But don't you be sitting in here walking out just as misled as they are. Read that 1 Samuel 19 and read the 11th verse. Watch how clear this is. Watch how it jumps out on you.
Saul sent messengers unto David's house.
Saul sent messengers unto David's house, saying,
to watch him and to slay him in the morning.
Watch him and slay him in the morning. I want you to kill David in the morning, not in the afternoon, not in the evening, not at night, but I want you to kill David in the morning. We don't know why, but Yah made sure he put this in this book to wake you up. Kill Saul in the morning.
And Milcah, David's wife, told him, saying, if thou save not thy life tonight.
If you don't save your life tonight.
Tomorrow. Thou shalt be slain.
So when did she think tomorrow was? Huh? When did she see tomorrow as? Do you see it, sister? Let me ask you. According to what you read, when is tomorrow? You don't know? Just puzzling. They can't make out what that is. Don't understand that? It's not saying nothing to you? I mean, is that telling you anything right there? It don't? All right. Okay. Is that anyone else that verse is not actually telling you something? Raise your hand. So that verse is saying something to everybody in here. It's saying something very clear to everyone in here that's really looking. I'm not saying you're not looking, but that's looking and seeing the truth. Because if this is not saying nothing, then I can see why a lot of our people are having problems comprehending. Because I would think this is self-explanatory, that verse to me. Does anyone else see it self-explanatory? Raise your hand. Just sticking out. All right? Thank you. But let's go where you want us to go, and that's Deuteronomy. And whereby in Deuteronomy? Yes. I asked it already? Okay, yes, ma'am. Is there anything else from anyone? Yes. Yeah, he told Moses that he's going to travel over Israel as a pillar of cloud in the daytime and at night as a flaming fire. So he separated day from night. He separated it. Now let me show you one thing before we adjourn this class. First, I'm going to recognize our beautiful brother Levi. Yes, sir, you wanted to say something? Then I'm going to make a remark on the scripture, then we're going to adjourn the class. Yes, Levi.
Yes, I want to make a statement and ask a question. I don't know if the sister would. I wanted to show in the Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, you know, there's this, some Solomon said to let people know the light is still there. You know, you had the light and the Almighty called it day. He had the sun to rule over day. So what's happening, what we see, you see two entities simultaneously working together. And in Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, the 2nd verse, it says, while the sun or the light or the moon all the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. Still there. That light is, and it says that, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars, the lights that the Almighty created are still there. They work together. They're still around today.
All right. That's very good. Oh, you want to say something else? I'm sorry.
Well, Leviticus 23. I just want to ask a question, and I'll get down and say yes or no. I'm trying to understand what you mean when you said, when it says it's a statute forever throughout your generations, that's one thing. When it says it's, you see something, when you said a statue forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings, that's something different. Now, the latter, in all your dwellings, when that, are you saying that's an indication that that must be done anywhere?
Yes, you can walk past, sister. Oh, you have a question? Okay.
I'm gonna sit down.
All right. Yes. Yes, when it says in all your dwellings, that is pertaining to anywhere except where it specifically states that they're only talking about in all your dwellings in the land. The reason being, there is a holy day that people that has a calendar, that's making calendars, and they put on a calendar about the Feast of Weeks, and they ask us about the Feast of Weeks, and we don't have no date. I teach that all the calendars I've seen, and I've seen all the calendars that they have, that the brothers and sisters that are interested in showing their calendars to everybody, all the calendars are wrong. The only one that has an Israelite calendar that's totally correct is the house of Israel here and those that have been affiliated with us. All the rest of the calendars are wrong. And let me make two other statements about the calendar. Most of all the Israelite brothers are seeing, and they know that the Jewish calendar is wrong, but they're still going by it. Now, when the Creator told us to learn not the ways of the heathens, and then the heathen tell us that the calendar that he wrote is already wrong, and he explains how it's wrong and now it's not right, and how he put days together that should not have been together, and holy days together that should not have been together. And he admits this. And we still go by something that's wrong, then that's very, very bad. And believe me, most of my Israelite brothers in the United States that are Masonic, Messianic, and those that are Torah-based, they're all still going by the Jewish calendar, which is wrong, and they know it's wrong. And then a few brothers that are making calendars that are much better, they still not totally accurate. And as they will see when we meet, the calendar that we're using is totally accurate. And not only is accurate, it have all the holy days in their proper space. Now, if you go to the book of Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, I'm going to show you what I'm talking about. And that was a very good question. Does it always mean in all your dwellings? Except when it specifically states in all your dwellings in a particular place. Like if you go to the 23rd chapter and start reading at the 10th verse, the 9th and 10th verse, watch this. And that's reading we don't write when the Feast of Weeks is. Notice what it says. Speak, and Yahweh spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when ye become into the land which I give unto you, that ye shall reap the harvest thereof, and then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruit of your harvest unto the priest. And the priest shall wave the sheaf before Yahweh to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. That means the morrow, the next day after the Sabbath day, which is Sunday, you always have that. Always on Sunday, always. But you can only call it when you're in the land, which Yahweh give you. And then it goes on to say,
and ye shall offer that day when ye weigh the sheep, a he lamb without blemish of the first year, for a burnt offering unto Yahweh. And the meat offering thereof shall be 2 tenths deals of fine flour mingled with oil, an offering made by fire unto Yahweh for a sweet savour. And the drink offering thereof shall be of wine, and the fourth part of a hen. And ye shall eat neither bread nor parched corn.
Now watch this 14th verse. And ye shall eat neither bread nor parched corn nor green herbs until the selfsame day that ye have brought an offering unto your Elohim. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all of your dwellings. But this is all your dwellings in the land, not outside the land. So even though it says all your dwellings, we can't keep this because it's only talking about all your dwellings once we get to the land. That's when you have to study this whole thing. You just don't read and jump up with, hey, this said that. Well, I think I got. No, you have to really know this book and study this book and meditate in this book day and night, or you will be responsible for misleading people. And Yah does not hold them lightly that cause his people to err. Because he didn't teach everybody to be a teacher. He didn't teach everybody to be a prophet. So everybody ain't got no excuse. You have no excuse about teaching something that you don't understand. And if you don't understand day and night, you're not understanding anything. If you're looking at these verses and not able to, and they're not just jumping out to you, then everybody is not endowed with what they call spiritual perceptibility. Because when you do, every verse will jump out at you saying something. And the more you study it, the more you see it jumping out. But if you're looking at these things and, oh, what the? I don't see it. I don't know what they tell me. Lord, have mercy on me. Don't be teaching this because you're causing people to err. Just sit and study and learn. And learn, because some of these things will come fast to some people. It's come slow to some. But the things that we teach, we don't teach in a corner. We go out to the world and challenge people and say, hey, this is right. And if it's not according to this, you're wrong. It's us. That's reading people know Alicia all over the world. That's reading people call Alicia all over California. Because they know that what I teach, I believe is right. I believe it's right. I know it's right. And I put my life on the line. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, you get all the wine out your house. Get all the whiskey out your house. You get all the yeast out of your house. You look at the things in your canned goods, because you got a lot of store canned goods that got yeast in it. A lot of soup got yeast in it. It got substances that cause fermentation in it. Anything that causes fermentation, get it out of your house. Them 7 days, don't drink no beer. Don't drink no whiskey. Don't fool with nothing vinegar. Don't deal with nothing that's been sitting too long that fermentation can be in. So you can take a bottle of juice and let it sit, and the next thing you know, you can get high off of it. It'll start fermenting. Nothing malt liquor. Get that out of your house 7 days. All those products that cause leaven and fermentation, remove it. Don't eat it for 7 days. And for 7 days, realize that you're making a sacrifice for Yah. Realize you're doing it because Yah told you to do it. Do it because Yah told you to remove it out of your homes. If you're not, and everybody got homes, do it because Yah said to get it out of your quarters. Do it because Yah said remove it off all your coasts. Do it because Yah said not to be found in any of your habitations. Do it because Yah said remove it out of all your dwellings. Do it because Yah wants you to, and that's the way our fathers would have done. That's how much they love trying to keep what they could keep. Yes. Some new question? came off the phone? These two came off the phone. Well, let me answer the brothers on the phone before we adjourn the class. Yes. Who got the list of agents that we have to remove? Y'all think of some of the things right now. Ketchup. And what's in ketchup that causes vinegar? What vinegar? Go ahead. Cheese. Mustard. Mayonnaise. Soy sauce. Toothpaste. Not all toothpaste. No. It got yeast in it. Any of them that got this pops that you shake it and start foaming? Any bread that's rises, yogurt, cakes. She brought out the thing, how about hydrogen peroxide? Wait, we can't talk at the same time, Elder. Let her finish. Go ahead. Some bakers use hydrogen peroxide for it. Uh-huh. Yes, ma'am. And what about it? Yes, sir, Sister Ariel. Say that out aloud again. Well, she brought out that people use hydrogen peroxide as a leavening agent. And that can cause his cakes and bread to rise if they want to use it. They say, all right, I want my big cake, my birthday coming, but I can't use no leaves, but I can use this hydrogen peroxide. A lot of the bakers use it. My teaching is always to give the creator the benefit of a doubt. If you have any doubt about it, give the creator the benefit of a doubt, and you can't go wrong. Yes. Well, what I suggest people doing is way before you take it out of the house, give it to people to eat. Give them the bread. You got bread, cookies, and crackers. Give it to them and hope they eat it all up. But don't wait until the night of the Passover and then go and give it and put it in somebody else's house and tell them to keep it or give it to them because you're causing them to sin. You just give it to a big family and say, man, I can't eat all this bread. I got a holy day coming. Maybe you and your family can use these cookies because I'm going to have to throw them away in a few days anyway. I can't eat it. So give it to somebody that can use it if you can. But if you wait until the last day, then get it out of your house. Throw it away. Oh, y'all bless you. Yeah, bless you. You'll get some more. But get it out of his house. Don't need to hide it in the trunk or in your cellar. I know you got that whiskey. Bring it here. You got some brothers to knock it out for you for then. Yeah, I ain't going to mention no names, but we got brothers that knock it right out. You understand? You know, all that beer, drinking it, if you don't drink it up, or get rid of it, that pop, Pepsi, and root beer, all that. Yes. Yeah, the Passover starts Monday night. And Monday night is when we stop even eating any leaven. But we have to make sure it's out of our houses on that first day. So it seems funny, and one brother, one of the leaders said, Alicia, we start keeping the Feast of Unleavened Bread on the 14th at evening. I said, no. He said, if you count 14th at evening to the 21st at evening, it's 7 days. I said, you're right. I said, but if you count the 15th to the 21st, it's still 7 days. Now, here's where people are confused at. Let me show you this last thing before we get out of here. Go to the book with me in Exodus 12. And incidentally, I'm 68 now. I've been studying this diligently since I was 23. When I started studying, my hair was as black as anybody's in here. Beard, long black hair, long black trim. And instead of running out at night smoking weed, I was in the house 6 and 7 hours studying this book. learning this book. Wasn't with my buddies. Wasn't with them party. I was studying this book and hadn't stopped studying it to this day, over 40 years. So when a young whippersnapper think they low a little bit because they just seen something in the scripture out there, you better go back and really make sure you got it together before you come, because I'm just not nothing. I just peep that. You understand? It's something the Almighty put me to task to do for years. Now notice what it says in the 15th verse of the 12th chapter.
7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses.
Now what is the first day? Is that the 14th or the 15th? 15th. Well, let me ask it. Who all say 14? Raise your hand. Who all say 15? Raise your hand. Who all say they don't know? Raise your hand. All right, don't make sure you know. Let's read that again. 7 days ye shall eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put leaven out of your houses.
For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day unto the seventh day, that so shall be cut off from Israel. And then the first day there shall be a holy convocation.
See, the Passover, he's not talking about the Passover. The Passover was not a holy convocation. He's talking about the first day of unleavened bread, which is the 15th, and that day was a holy convocation, the first day.
And in the first day, there shall be a holy convocation. And in the seventh day, there shall be a holy convocation to you.
He's talking about the 15th, and he's talking about the 21st, as you will see. Go ahead.
No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat. That only may be done of you. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For in this self same day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generation by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at even.
You notice the 17th verse says throughout your generations for an ordinance forever. You don't see in all your dwellings, do you? He admitted that, didn't he? Keep reading.
In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at even.
So in other words, we start eating unleavened bread at the 14th at evening. That's when we start eating unleavened bread. But keep reading.
7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off.
Now he's speaking of 7 days, of 15th to the 21st. Count that. 15th to 21st. 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. That's 7 days. Now watch this. Start counting the 14th at evening to the 15th at evening. You still got 7 days. 14th at evening to the 5th day at evening. 1, 16 at evening, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. Same thing. The only difference is you start removing leaven out of your houses the 14th day. I mean, you stop eating unleavened bread the 14th day at Eden. But the Almighty commanded you to have it out of your house the first day. 7 days, no leaven shall be found. Keep reading. I was actually, leaven was found. The truth of the matter, leaven was found the 14th day. It was found. Because what happened? We didn't give our bread a chance to what? Rise when we start moving. So that the law is you don't have no leaven found for 7 days. No leaven found in none of your houses. But we actually to stop eating leaven on the 14th. Keep reading.
7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel. Whether he be a stranger or born in the land. Ye shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitations shall ye eat unleavened bread.
All right. Now, quickly, Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23. We have it. Verse 6, start reading.
And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened
Bread. That's the Feast of Unleavened Bread, 15th day of the same month.
7 days ye must eat unleavened bread.
There we go. And that's on the 15th, starting the 15th. On the first day, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no work therein. But it's an offering made by fire unto Yahweh 7 days. And in the seventh day is a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. For Yah spoke unto Moshe. So what's the difference between the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Feast of Weeks? Feast of Unleavened Bread, you had two holy convocations. You had two Sabbaths. The first day was a Sabbath, the seventh day of the Sabbath. The Passover was not a Sabbath. It was not a holy convocation where everybody had to be in the same place. You know where everybody celebrated the Passover at? In their own homes. Nobody was to leave their home. And even when we started celebrating after we left Egypt, we still celebrated it in our homes. According to all the rites, all the ceremonies, and all the rituals, we kept celebrating it even after we came out of the land. Now you got the brothers actually calling a holy convocation on the Sabbath day, the Passover. The Passover was not a Sabbath. The Passover was not a holy convocation. Everybody didn't supposed to gather themselves together in one place for the Passover. The Passover was to be kept in your homes. All the laws of the Passover. So what they're doing with the Passover, all they're doing is wrong. Everything. Even the ones that think they're doing it the right way, the whole thing is wrong. Yes. Throw it away. Don't sit it outside your home. Your cat might get it. Well, see, right now we got plenty of time to go and give it away to people that can eat it. We got plenty of time. And if we're going to be such a sluggard that we're going to wait until the last minute to get it out of our houses where we'd rather just put it in the basement or back porch or on the front porch and in the trunk of your car, then you're just being mischievous. You have the time to prepare to get rid of it now. You can give it to people. You can consume it. You got plenty of time. We warned you. You don't have to wait until the last minute. But y'all going to do what y'all want to do anyway. Y'all going to have it out there in the trunk, and y'all know that. But I'm just telling you what's right to do. What's right to do is get rid of it. And the alcohol you don't drink, get rid of it. Throw it in the trash can. Don't give it to nobody at the last minute. Don't put it in your car at the last minute. All right? That's my suggestion. Creator said his word should be magnified. And every year as I learn, it even becomes more important how important it is to do the right thing. Any other questions or comments before we adjourn the class? Yes. What does Exodus 12 and 15 mean when it says, what does it mean when it said the soul, that soul should be cut off from Israel? That means he'll be cut off. He's excommunicated. That's what it means when it say that soul should be cut off. He's cut off. So that was self-explanatory, right? Don't mean you cut him with no razor. That means he's just excommunicated. How do we know that we are Yah's chosen people? What about the Christian Muslims and Rastafarians? What is the difference? There's a big difference. And I can't get into this difference tonight, and we'll try to do it another day. But there's a big difference between a Christian, a Muslim, a Rastafarian, and an Israelite. The biggest difference is that all Christians, all Muslims, and all Rastafarians are heathens. They don't know the Most High. How can you know the Most High and you worship someone else? And the Almighty said, I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But had they stood in my counsel and caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned him from their evil way and the evil of their doing. If somebody got you worshiping Haile Selassie and believing he is somebody important, you're being misled. If somebody's telling you the Quran is Yah's book, you're being misled. And if someone is telling you the New Testament is Yah's book and JC is your savior, you're being misled. They're what the Creator calls heathens. That's the difference. And I think that's all the questions, right? What does internet from the internet, what does the law mean when it says in all your dwellings? Well, the scripture said we dwelt in a house in the land of Goshen. That was Jerusalem. When it said we dwelt there, that meant that was our dwelling. Because we dwelt there. Anywhere you dwell is your dwelling. And the Almighty told us to celebrate the Passover in all our dwellings. He didn't say just the dwellings in the land. That's the reason when the children of Israel were in the land of Persia, it said they were more different than all the other people because their laws were more diverse than all the other people of the land. Even when we wasn't in our land, our laws were diverse to govern us. And you know what laws are diverse. Our dietary law and our law regarding the Sabbaths and the fact that we wore fringes. How many here don't wear fringes? Raise your hand. So every brother raise wear fringes? Oh, you don't? You don't? I said wear. Oh, good. All right. Should we wear them? And why should we all wear fringes? Huh? Because y'all told us to wear them. And what did he say the fringes would mean? Huh? I used to then wear fringes everywhere. I used to just wear them here on special occasions in the Sabbath class because it would get messed up. But next thing I know, I seen a couple of brothers that worked with me and new customers that came in my shop. Next thing I know, they were wearing fringes. They told me to get them from fringes. I said, what is this? I said, this is the law that we're supposed to be keeping all the time. And these brothers just coming into the truth and they're wearing their fringes like the law says. So I know I better jump up and get tight. Now, I just wear them all the time. And guess what? Since I started wearing them, guess what? I feel special. I feel really even more special. Everybody see that they are special. And they're making a statement when you have them. Just like they're making a statement when you don't have them. See, them Jewish boys, they don't mind being out the bigs walking and they're making a statement with theirs. They don't mind. The Muslims don't mind making statements. The Christians don't mind, but you don't want to make a statement. You want to become inconspicuous. But we don't supposed to be inconspicuous. The Almighty said he wanted us to be a peculiar people unto him. And we want people saying, what are those? Why they? Oh, those are fringes. That's what the Israelites supposed to wear. That's what the scripture says. But he don't have on his. I thought he was down with it. You're not down with it until you are obeying the Almighty. And he didn't just tell the men to wear fringes, did he? Did he tell just the adults to wear fringes? No, we all supposed to wear fringes because he said so. And said it twice. It's a doctrine. It's not no slip of the tongue. That's a doctrine. Any other comments before we adjourn the class? Yes, ma'am. Well, let me explain it then.
But I'm not.
Somebody told you used to be embarrassed by believing what?
Here, it's embarrassing. They were saying it's embarrassing, but I
just... Sam, what's embarrassing? Let me follow you.
Oh, to believe that the day begins with the evening. But I just want to say that I'm not being, you know, smart, but I just want to say I paid for a conference with a whole bunch of Mores who taught us that who believe that a day starts in the evening. You know, so I'm not embarrassed at all. You know, and some of these men that have been teaching you know, as long as you are longer. So I don't feel like I'm misleading anyone by asking questions.
All right. Okay.
But I just wanted Deuteronomy 16:6.
He's going to read it right now. And before he reads it, the distinction is, even though there are a lot of teachers that's been teaching almost as long as me, and some of them in the United States have been teaching longer than me, the exception and the distinction is they don't teach that they're prophets. They don't teach that the word that they're teaching came from the Most High. They will tell you this came from their studies. They tell you this is what their teachers taught them. What I teach is not what my teachers taught me. It does not come from me being more brilliant or me being a greater student than them. It comes from the fact that I have to admit the Almighty gave it to me, or else that's the only way I got it. I'd ask him, I said, I need you to show me something. And I pull in that book, and he puts it out, and it was always something that's astronomical, something unbelievable that he showed me. And then I went and did my research on it, and then it was unbelievable. Nobody came and told me, Alicia, did you know we don't supposed to keep the Passover here? Did you know that was against the law? I got that from the Creator. I'm not doing it because people taught me to do it. And I'm not stopped doing it because they taught me. I did this because of the Creator, and that's the distinction. And people might find out, they say, well, people in New York, they might feel that way because they hadn't had the distinction of sitting under Alicia all these years like we. And of what you heard about day and night and how you just read that Yah gave us the sun to rule the day and the moon to rule the night. And after you see that, how can you still say a day starts at night? That's just unimaginable. It's just uncomprehendable how you can look at the sun and moon and then say, I know the sun rules the day, but the day starts at night. And you have to have your eyes wide. What? And so that's why they say that, because you are here. You're not a student in New York or Chicago, and they feel by the amount of time you've been here under this teaching, had you been studying, you wouldn't be in a state of just total confusion. And just like when I pointed out those verses about tomorrow, you know, most everybody could see it clear. It was jumping out. Like when it said tomorrow the locust came, and then in the morning they seen the locust. They could equate that as meaning the morning and tomorrow was the same time. Some people don't mean nothing. But let me tell you something. I ask every teacher, and this one question in the Bible, I show every teacher, and every one of them get tired tongue. The same thing. It's very simple. And I'm going to ask you the same question. As I use this to see how sincere people are. If a person truly believes that a day and a night is the same, and if they truly believe that a day starts at night, then answer this question. Turn, everyone, and this is indeed the last verse. Go to the book of Numbers, the 11th chapter. Everybody. This is the verse that separate the wheat from the chaff, the fat from the lean, the holy from the unclean. This is the verse that will jump out. If you're honest, I dare you to answer this question. Because this question will make you contradict yourself if you tell the truth. It's no way possible you're going to answer this question and then tell me a day and a night is the same, and that a day is part of night and a night is part of day. You can't do that after you answer this question. The question comes from Numbers, the 11th chapter. Read verse 32. Read that.
And the people stood up all that day.
The people stood up all that day, the whole day, the full day, the total day, the complete day, everything that had anything to do with a day, they stood up all that day.
And all that night.
And all that night. Anything that had to do with a night. Anything, the whole night, the complete night, the full night, the total night, anything that had to do with a night they stood up and all the next day. Now, see how good you count. Sister, how many days and nights did they count quails? I didn't ask you how many hours. See what people do? She started telling me how many hours. I said, how many days and how many nights did they count quails? Watch this. Just kill them all. Just one day. One day. See, you noticed the two answers, didn't you? Now, what is that telling you? That's saying the sister don't want to confront reality. There was neither time did she answer my question. She gave me two different types of answers. And this is what they do. I said, how many days and how many nights did they count quail? 36 hours. I said, how many days and how many nights? One day and 12 hours. I said, how many days, how many nights? One day and 12 hours. All right, let's stop. She said they only counted quails one day. Sir, how many days and how many nights did they count quails? Huh? 2 days and one night. That's all. And they don't say nothing about one. The word I is not even in there. But if you're not honest and not trying to deal with the truth, you're going to tell me everything but the truth. And this is what they do when I hit them with this voice. I'm going to hear everything except the truth. 12 hours, 13, 4 nights. No, you can't, because that'll condemn you. If you're looking for the truth, you'll see it. You'll scratch your head and say, oh, I see it. It's 2 days and one night. This is what you do. Any other answer from that, you're not being honest with yourself. And you will never understand until you be honest with yourself. The word hour is not in there. No 12 hours and 6 minutes there. You don't even see hours. But you're going to give me that because you can't deal with reality. And that's why you can't see it. You don't want to face reality. Hello. Let's stand. Shemal, Yisrael, Yahweh, Eliheinu, Yahweh, Akkad. Hear, O Israel, Yahweh Elohim, Yahweh is one. Yahweh bless thee and keep thee. Yah make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Yah lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Hallelujah! 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 Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. That concludes tonight's lesson. I hope you all enjoyed the late, great Maury Elisha. This is the House of Cincinnati, and this is Nothing But the Truth. And Nothing But the Truth will continue on later on tomorrow and this week. Until then, Yahweh loves you, and so do we. Shalom.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Live free. Come on. Fourth tribe. 400 centuries. Yeah. Yeah. Let's go. Take a look at my soul. Nothing left but these holes. They tried to take me down, but Yah is in control. So now I ask you, you suddenly black too. The oppressor ain't fair when he attacked. You started wars because they tried to tax you. You should be asking who they was asking. Now what? Prices on our backs and the IRS wanted in on the back end. Lincoln was never down for emancipation. Just good political relations to try to make a good case for the next election. Yet Jim Crow came right back in the field, certified with a government seal. He probably tried to stand him with zeal. Sadly, he thought that Jesus was real. They gave us some fake moons and education to keep us concealed.
Take a look at my soul. All I want to do is go. There's nothing left of me. I'm just horrid slavery. For 100 centuries, nothing left for you to hold. All I want to be is be my Yah and live free.
For hundred centuries of this horrid slavery, but Yah, He is the King, and He will save me. So now I ask you, will you drop to your knees and beg Yah, please? Don't you know that Yah is coming? It's like tomorrow. I can't even tell you the time on your Audemars. Just guard your heart, baby, paw, baby, dog. Don't cry. Paparazzi never cared about them tears. No way. Just spend my Yah all day. Resting Him just like the song say. I'm waiting for the day that He sit on the throne. Till then, I'm stuck in my zone. Staying focused on the day when He finally takes us home. Till then, I'm prophesying to the drop bones, to that day that I'm gone, and Yah reveal what He has shown, that Yahweh is Elohim, is Him, and none alone.
Take a look at my soul, all I want to do is go, there's nothing left of me, of this horrid slavery, for 100 centuries, nothing left for you to hold. All I want to be is with my Yah and live free. All I want to be is with my Yah and live free. All I want to be is with my Yah and live free. All I want to be is with my Yah and live free. All I want to be is with my Yah and live free. Live free. Yeah. Look at my soul. All I want to do is go. There's nothing left of me, of this horrid slavery. 400 centuries left for you to hold. All I want to be is with my Yah and live free. All I want to be is with my Yah and live free.